We're going to continue with silly jokes. Do you know what a priest and his dog have in common? The priest wears pants and a collar. The dog wears a collar and pants. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The unexpected things in life. Those are the things that catch us unaware, kind of hit us broadside towards the rear. We don't see them coming. And they're usually not pleasant experiences. Such was the case last week for Craig Cunningham. Craig Cunningham is a center and the captain for the Tucson Roadrunners, which is the AHL affiliate of the Arizona Coyotes. Prior to the start of the game 10 days ago, 26-year-old Craig Cunningham went into cardiac arrest on the ice. Best place probably it could have happened. Because not only was the training staff there, but there was also a fife and drum corps from the Tucson Fire Department there. And they were able to begin CPR right away. And they restored his heartbeat. But unfortunately, at this moment, he still remains in a coma in Tucson. Certainly an experience he didn't see coming. And so I'd urge you to add Craig Cunningham to your prayer list because certainly those prayers are needed. But while we say that he probably didn't see it coming, I would venture to say there were probably some warning signs he just chose to ignore because after all, he was 26 years old. So you have a little discomfort. Maybe it's just indigestion. Maybe you're having a little trouble breathing. Well, you're a hockey player. You're skating like crazy. I'd have trouble breathing too. For us, in most of the situations we have in life, things have inklings to them before they happen. But sometimes we don't pay attention to those inklings. And today's gospel lesson, we're told about the inklings. We're told about the fact that the Son of Man is coming. Now, we're not going to know exactly when it's going to happen, but we know it is going to happen. Now, if we knew that bad things were going to happen to us, we'd probably make some kind of allowances to try to at least prepare ourselves for it or do something to mitigate the damage before it happened, some way to prepare ourselves for this grand event before it happens. And that's what the gospel's telling us. Be prepared. I'm sure if Craig Cunningham knew he was going to have a heart attack, he would have done something to try to lessen the magnitude of what was going to happen. How do you prepare? Stay awake. Dennis has already told us that while it's important to stay awake, we can't stay awake. We need our naps. We need our sleep. We need that time down to be able to rest. So how exactly it is that we stay awake? You know, there were two different takes that really go with this whole understanding of the second coming of the Son of Man, and it really is wrapped around being prepared, being ready for what's going to take place. But how do you do that? Sabor Sahili emigrated from Afghanistan to the United States in 1978. It was the beginning of the civil uprising there, where ultimately the USSR invaded Afghanistan, and his father sent him to be in a safer place. He emigrated to Utah, and he got himself a job right away as a dishwasher. After showing himself to be a really reliable employee, he was then promoted to an assistant cook and then to a cook. And soon after that, in a few years, he opened up his own restaurant. Now for Sabor, his understanding of the way the world worked went way beyond just the understanding of his family. And this is something his grandmother taught him. He came from a poor town in Afghanistan, and part of what his family would do at each meal, they would put together an extra plate. And if nobody unexpected showed up, they would take that plate to a family in the village that they knew was in need. And they would share their dinner with them. Because family for Sabor and his family wasn't just those who are part of the genealogical structure. Family was that village. He did not leave that understanding behind in Afghanistan. For when he came to the United States, he began to see the people who would be regular patrons at his restaurant as that village. They became his extended family. And as he would have people who would regularly show up, what Sabor would end up doing is if they had missed a time that they would normally be there, he would call just to make sure that they were doing okay, to check on their well-being, because it was something that was part of their regular routine in terms of showing up for the restaurant on a regular basis. He said there were people who would show up for all three meals. And so when they couldn't, he wanted to make sure they were doing okay. And that understanding and idea of sharing the food was something he brought forth every Thanksgiving. Because if you would go to Angie's restaurant in Logan, Utah on Thanksgiving Day, you would not receive a bill. In fact, he opened that restaurant up for the past 26 years on Thanksgiving Day, allowing the community of Logan to understand that their meal that day was free. I don't know how many people he served on Thursday, but last year he served over 825 meals. Because Sabor understands that he's part of a community. And part of that community is extending your family and extending your love and extending your graciousness and sharing your gifts way beyond just who lives with you, but reaching out to the world. When I heard about that, I then began to think that there was the answer to the waiting. We hate to wait. We're an impatient people. You want an example? How many of you had a computer in 1990? When you turned that computer on, how long did it take to boot up? If you were forced to face that length of time to be able to sit there for probably, I don't know, 90 seconds, and to do that today with your computer, you would be incensed. Because it's not working properly. It's wasting my time. I have better things to do than just sit around and wait. Why isn't this silly thing working the way it's supposed to? And we have other things that show the level of impatience we have. If you don't understand it, go drive on 101 and see what happens. You can see that level of impatience exhibited by people all over the place, and sometimes, unfortunately, by ourselves. Because we don't want to wait. And yet we're called to wait. To wait and anticipate the second coming of the Son of Man. To wait and anticipate the coming of Christ within this world to be able to change and transform everything the way God intends. So what do we do while we wait? I would suggest we live our lives like Sabor. Understanding that our family extends beyond our genealogy. Our family extends beyond the doors of our church. Our family extends beyond the neighborhoods in which we live. Our families are encompassed by the people of God throughout the world. And while we wait, we work. We work on behalf of one another. We work to share the gifts that God has blessed us with to enrich the lives of others. We work with what we've been given to the glory of God to try to move a little step closer to making this place the world in which God has envisioned. We work to prepare. We work to get ready. Because we want our house to be in order. We want things to be neat and clean when Jesus shows up. We don't want to be caught lounging in our Barca lounger with a beer in our hand and our underwear and a dirty t-shirt. We want to be out doing those things that God has called us to do. Working to embrace the world in which we've been blessed with. Using the skills and the gifts and the love that God has placed within our hearts to solely work to improve this world, to make it the place which it can be. This world keeps fracturing through divisions of all kinds of different levels. We're called to bind the world together, to use what we have to restore wholeness within this world, to not look at the people who are different from us and set them aside, but rather to embrace the entire world, seeking to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to visit those in jail, to bind the wounds of those who have been injured or are sick. To do the work that God has called us to do. That is what we do as we wait. We don't sit, but we work. We work to do those things God has called us to do. We work to utilize those gifts that God has blessed us with. We work to make this world the place that God intends. We'll never make it perfect, but I can guarantee you, if we put our minds, our hearts, and our souls to it, we can make it a whole lot better. Amen.